Welcome to That Guy's a Maniac, the podcast. My name is Richie. With me as always is Farley. Say hello, Farley.
Hello.
We are a podcast about video games. You can find us on www.thatguys.co.uk, our ancient old blog from 2006, and also on the socials at That Guy's a Maniac. So, Farley, how are you feeling?
Confused. Dazed and confused.
Dazed and confused. Because yeah. I managed to get through the intro without tripping over my own tongue.
Yes.
Okay. Cool. Well, today we are doing a What Are You Playing?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're gonna talk about the games that we have. Sorry?
We don't have a quote for you today, readers.
Do we do quotes?
Do we?
I don't know. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we do. I don't have a quote.
Okay, I've got a quote for you, Richie.
Okay, go for it. Oh, my God. Hello? Okay, hang on. Apparently I've lost the connection. We'll need to start again. From the quote.
Okay.
Okay. We'll stay quiet, and then whenever you're ready, say, I've got a quote for you. Okay, cool.
Okay, yeah. I've got a quote.
Okay, shoot, tell me.
Help me, Leon.
Is it Resident Evil 2?
No.
Oh, well, then I've no idea what it could be.
Oh, it was Resident 4.
Oh, was it Resident Evil 4? Yeah. Oh, no way. Of course, because Leon's in that one as well.
Yeah, Ashley says it.
Yeah. Just to be very clear, I did. That I absolutely understood and knew that one. So, in true Resident Evil 4 style, Farley, what are you playing?
Thanks, Richie. I've been playing Pokemon Crystal.
Pokemon Crystal?
Yeah.
Crystal. Remind me which one Crystal is. That's the Gold, Silver, and Crystal?
Yeah, it's the
The Onyx third one.
Game of the Gold and Silver generation on the Game Boy Advance, because the Nintendo eShops were closing.
Oh, yeah.
And I had some money sitting on the eShop, so I bought a bunch of games to use it all up. And Pokemon Crystal. This is a virtual console release on the 3DS. And if you got it on the 3DS, you automatically got access to the Japan Celebi event.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So after you do the Elite Four, I think you can swing by and pick up a Celebi. It's been so long since I played the original Silver, or also on the virtual console, I guess, since I played it back in the day. But I can't really remember the difference. I'm playing all the changes. I think there's some more story around Suicune.
Okay.
Because that's very much the box legendary. There's a few little...
Was it...
In-game, in brackets, cutscenes with Suicune and a guy who's after him.
Was it not the Crystal Onyx that you got? That was why it was called Pokemon Crystal?
No.
Oh, okay, never mind then.
I think that's an anime thing.
Really?
Yeah, and then people got really excited when Terastalizing in Pokemon Scarlet Violet was...
I'm so sure Crystal Onyx was actually in the game canon. So much so that whilst you continue to talk, I am going to Google it.
Okay. So yeah, I'm enjoying that. It's a what do you call it? I'm not going for like a comprehensive playthrough. It is just whiz through, scoop up all the in-game trades, scoop up the legendaries, get the Celebi, cart them all off to bank via Pokemon Transporter. So it's quite nice to have like a, I don't care about that, I don't care about that, I don't need to come back and collect these, I don't care about that, run through. And although we've said this before, that when you play the Game Boy Pokemon games again, without all the quality of life changes we've had in the last 20-odd years, it can be quite painful. But also, there's something quite fun about it. So I was on the fifth gym, I think. If you remember, I remember virtually nothing. I remember there's that little village with the slowpokes in the well, right?
Yeah.
Then there's Kurt who makes the Pokeballs.
Is it not the Bellsprout Tower as well?
Yeah, the two towers.
Yeah.
Then the ruins of Alf. And then you have to get the medicine for the Ampharos in Olivine City. And you have to swim down to Cyanwood City.
Yeah.
So I did that. And my team, do you want to hear my team?
Right, okay. Can I try and guess some of them?
I don't think you'll guess my team, but yes, you can.
Okay, is one of them... is one of them Geodude?
No.
Okay. Is one of the... Nah, this is a rubbish game. Tell me your team.
Okay, so I'm sticking with my starter, which was Cyndaquil.
Okay.
I'm thinking about maybe not evolving it into Typhlosion and sending it over and evolving it into a Hisuian Typhlosion.
Okay.
Because it would have the little Game Boy mark on it.
Yeah.
An unknown H.
Okay. Why H?
Just because that was the one that I caught.
Okay.
No, I caught a bunch. Because in Crystal, they split the ruins of Alf. And I can't remember how you get to the other half of it.
Yeah.
So I was just running around catching them. And then I was testing them to try and work out what type they were. Because if you don't know, unknown are the Pokemon which looks like alphabet letters. They only have one move called Hidden Power. And depending on their RNGs, when they're generated, it will be hidden power, could be of different types. And ice is really, really useful in this game, but you don't get access to any ice type moves, not until much later. Dude, this is another thing, I'm so many tangents. This is another thing I kept forgetting as I'm going through. So they gave, Crystal has a whole set of sprites, and the first ones of the sprites are a little bit animated.
Yeah, so they're like wagtails or something like that. Or
sometimes, yeah.
Yep.
And so there's a whole like third set of sprites. But do you remember in the early games when, for example, you'd have a bug and flying type Pokemon and it wouldn't learn any bug or flying moves?
Yes.
Yeah, you just have to go up 40 levels and learn like a 60% power move. And
also, remember, or leech seed or something stupid like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So most of your team for the first half of the game is just has tail wag, tackle, and growl.
Yeah.
So I got unknown H with Ice Beam, who was my MVP for the first three gyms. Then at the moment I've got you get given an egg with a Togepi in it. It's just evolved into Togetic. The only move it has that does any damage is Metronome.
Oh, God. Brilliant.
It's the only move it gets. It's really frustrating. So it's like Charm, which reduces the attack, Sweet Kiss, which causes confusion, Encore, and Metronome.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, what a star team member.
I decided to bring the pseudo Wudo with me that you squirt the water on.
Okay, okay.
Because it actually has moves of different types. And then in Crystal, I don't think you get any of those. You get given an odd egg.
Okay.
By the daycare center people. And it will evolve into a random one of the babies, apart from Togepi.
Oh, okay, so it'll be like Elekid or Magby.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And it has the move Dynamic Punch, which it doesn't otherwise get.
Oh, okay.
No, not Dynamic Punch, Dizzy Punch.
Dizzy Punch, okay.
And I happily hatched the Igglybuff.
Okay.
So I'm very happy about that. It can't be transferred over, this odd egg.
Ah, okay.
I think, yeah, well, maybe you can if you get delete.
Dizzy Punch, yeah.
Dizzy Punch, yeah.
What's the point?
I've got a Ledian.
Of course, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Absolute rubbish. It's just so rubbish. And I can't even remember the last one anymore.
Pikachu.
No.
Another rock type.
No, it's not. I was going for... I think it's Mantine at the moment.
Oh, okay. Because you still have to use HM sleeves,
yeah,
don't you?
Yeah, you still have to use HMs, yeah. For a while it was Krabby because it could use three of them.
Yeah.
It's Mantine. So that's it. But as slow as it is and as shitty as the moves are and as possible as it is to level up, like I said, I was on the fifth gym the other day, which I did eventually beat. But there's something kind of really nice about having to plot for days against a gym leader who just has like a primate and a polywhirl.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
And it being game blocking progress.
Yep. I know exactly.
He's at level 30 and all my guys are like level 23 and you can run around for ages trying to grind them up. But, oh, this is going to take forever to get them there. So I'll try it like this. Oh no, it didn't quite. I'll try it like this. Oh no, it didn't quite. Yeah, there is something humbling to be your progress completely stifled by a guy who has two Pokemon.
Level 30. Wow.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it. And the other thing I'm really enjoying is when you get to Goldenrod City. Do you remember the game corner?
Yeah.
So instead of it just being the shitty slot machines, there's this amazing game called Card Flip. Amazing game.
Okay.
And as much as I said it was like a no care run through, I did spend
a long time there.
More time than I should have done playing Card Flip. Yeah. So the idea behind Card Flip is you flip over 12 cards one at a time, and then you have to there's like a grid on which you can bet. So there's like, I think there's like a Jigglypuff, a Pikachu, a Poliwag, and a Oddish. And they can be numbered, I think, 1 to 10 or something. 1 to 7.
Yeah.
But you can choose what you bet on. So you can bet on it being a Pikachu, which is like a 4-time multiplier. Or you can bet on it being like the number one, which is like a 26 multiplier, 24 multiplier. Or you can bet on it being something else. So it's
just to stop on a quick tangent, there's a lot of games that actually just have hardcore gambling mechanics in them, especially Japanese games. And it's... Do you feel like this is like straight up gambling, except you're using Pokecoins, or do you feel
no, not really, because I know that in some of the later game after the Game Boy, they got to quite a bit of trouble, didn't they, with these like gambling like games and stuff to change them. Heart Gold and Soul Silver had an excellent game called Vault Flip, which I loved. So, but I just don't find the attraction, or I don't understand like slot machines.
Yeah.
They're boring to me, particularly when you have to earn whatever it is, 2,000 coins to buy a fucking Porygon and that.
Porygon, yeah.
In this one, it's a Wobbuffet, weirdly, because you can just go to the ruins of Alf and get one. It's
like, yeah.
2,000 coins for Wobbuffet.
Maybe it's good Dizzy Punch.
Maybe, yeah, can't transfer it. you know, the strongest move in the game. Fucking dizzy, Igglybuff with Dizzy Punch at the moment. but with card flip, so once you flip a card, so you flip it over, it'd be, oh, it was Jigglypuff number three. Did you bet on Jigglypuff or the number three? No, okay, fine. But then it removes it from the game. So as the rounds go on and you do 12, the game resets.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, cool.
You know, you're like, oh, maybe now I should go for the...
The odds are going up. Yeah,
yeah, like the times three or the times six or the times two or like the times 24. And occasionally, in the last round, essentially you have like a 1 in 12 chance of getting the 24 times multiplier.
Yeah.
So yeah, so it's...
Teaching you card counting.
Yeah, it's not even that complicated. Just straight off removes the... one on the spot, but you can play it safe and really earn more money, but incrementally, right? Because
if
you want to go with the best odds, your first bet is there's like a 50-50, so it's either Pikachu or Jigglypuff or Oddish or Poliwag, but it's only a 2x2 multiplier.
Okay.
So you put 3 coins in. If you get that, you get 6 coins back. Obviously, if the first one that's turned over is a Jigglypuff, then your next bet has a better than 1 in 2 chance of being a Poliwag or an Oddish. So you can play it like that. Just, okay, I've got a better than 1 in 2 chance to bet on this or this.
Yeah.
Or this, or this. But your money will go up super, super, super slowly. It's just a really fun little game on the Game Boy Color, buried inside
Pokemon Crystal. Pokemon Crystal.
Did I mention that I'm playing as Chris?
Chris from Resident Evil.
No, a woman Chris. A girl Chris.
Oh, I've no idea who Chris is.
Well, you know, at some point, I don't know when, maybe it was as the games came out, but like all the protagonists of the games got like a name.
Oh, so Crystal, you have to play as someone called Chris.
No, she's the character Chris. If if you look her up, you'll recognize her, I'm sure. I think it's K-R-I-S. Chris Crystal.
Okay.
She's dressed like everyone was dressed in the 90s.
Oh, I do recognize her.
Yeah, might be from Masters or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you can play as if you choose the female character, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. Fun.
She only appears in Pokemon Crystal. She's replaced by Lyra.
In the remake.
In Pokemon Heart Gold and Silver, yeah. Gosh. Yeah. Okay, cool.
So there we go.
So Pokemon Crystal, that's been your endeavor of the past few weeks, days.
Yeah, well, I've also been playing Pokemon Violet and Diamond and BDSP Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon.
Okay, are you still doing the Pokemon move? Or the big Pokemon move to hold?
Yeah, the big going through and collecting all the... I finally finished Sapphire. Everyone's off Sapphire now.
Okay.
Everyone's in Diamond. And I'm trying to do the Diamond Battle Tower. And it's really fucking hard.
Yeah. The Battle Towers, or the old Battle Towers, were always ridiculously hard.
Really hard. I think we said this before, but I haven't... completed, I don't think, a single Pokemon game. You know, getting like the 5 stars on your trainer card.
Yeah.
Just because the battle tower is always insanely difficult.
Yeah.
Pokemon Diamond.
Yeah.
To get the ability ribbon, you need, which is the only ribbon I'm on, right? I'm not even getting all of them because in Gen 7 it replaces them all anyway and gives you a battle memory ribbon. So all I need to do is fight 7 trainers in a row and then get to Fuckface. Norman?
Sure.
Is it your dad? Someone's dad?
Sure.
And he has such a shitty lineup. He has.
Fuckface has a shitty lineup. We're talking about Pokemon here, guys.
Guess which what team he has?
Oh, Miltank.
No.
Kangaskhan.
No, like more beardy and annoying.
More beardy and annoying.
Yeah.
Beardy.
Beardy.
Beardy Pokemon.
Basically, what team would you have?
Oh, Garchomp. Meltan. No, not Meltan. Crap, what's the name? Metagross. Metagross is 3, isn't it? It's not Diamond Pearl. What team would I have? Oh, God. In 2? Gen 2?
Gen 4.
Oh, because it's Diamond and Pearl.
Diamond, yeah, I'm on Diamond.
Ah, okay, sorry, I thought we were still talking Crystal. Sorry, no. sorry. Gen 4. I don't know, tell me what team I would have. Oh, Milotic?
Yes.
Definitely. Something big and tanky. Has he got a Blissey as well?
No, he has got something big and tanky.
What is it?
A Rhyperia.
Okay, yeah.
And his last son is Dragonite.
Dragonite, okay. I'm not a huge fan of Rhyperia. I always steer clear of that one. I always think, no, that's a rock type. That's Farley's.
Yeah. But those are the... So I have to beat him with those 3.
Oof.
Several hundred times. It's just... Oh, Milotic, man.
Yeah.
I've got him as well. I've got him 3 times and I've never beaten him.
Oh god.
Yeah. Because Dragonite just Dragon Dances straight away.
Yep.
Oh, fuck. Okay. I have to try and shut this down. And for some reason, Ice Beam doesn't do anything. And then Milotic comes out. And then puts you to sleep. Does that for ring.
Of course.
Does recover. And I forgot. Well. Well.
I guess I'll just die then.
Yeah. I guess I'll.
Oh, God. That's horrible.
Mm.
No, I know exactly where you're coming from. And like, Dragonite, do they both have Marvel scale?
Oh, probably.
That'll be why Ice Beam's doing nothing.
Yeah.
Just horrible. Yeah. A tanky Dragonite is just not nice.
And that's like his bargain basement, like, first tier team. If you get to 49th battle, which obviously I'm never going to do, he has Heatran, Regigigas, and Cresselia.
Okay.
Actually, I think I'd prefer that team. I would prefer to go against
team. Just don't want to see Milotic again or another dragging dancing Dragonite.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Anyway, what have you been playing? That's been my adventures.
Okay. So, I have been playing Resident Evil 4 Remake.
Resident Evil 4 Remake.
I'm curious as to why you haven't got Resident Evil 4 Remake.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not that bothered by it.
Like, you really enjoyed the other remakes. Resident Evil 2, Resident Evil 3.
Yeah.
I thought you'd have been all over Resident Evil 4 Remake.
Nah.
How come?
I'm just not bothered by it. I really think, and I know, so, unlike the other two, I know that Resident Evil 3 got a little bit of, it's too linear, kind of backlash.
Yeah.
From what I've seen online, as well as some ridiculous stuff about harassing one of the voice actresses, for whatever insane reason, a lot of people have been like, Yeah, it's good, but it's kind of just Resident Evil 4. And I know that sounds like such a stupid thing.
Yeah, yeah.
To say. But yeah, I really think, I mean, especially if you bought every single version of it, which I didn't go that mad, but I've got every Nintendo version of it. So I've played it not too recently on the Wii.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just not too bothered about it to get it on launch day. It's a Capcom game, so that'll be £6 by Christmas. and maybe I'll get it then. Also, I mean, I'm running out of space on my PS4.
So. Okay.
So I've got, like, you know, one of three huge open world games with several lots of DLC to be to then archive the data and free up, you know, 200 gigs.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just wasn't that bothered, really.
Okay.
How about you? How are you finding it?
Well, I mean, straight off the bat, everybody is right. It is Resident Evil 4.
It sounds like such a stupid thing to say, but it seems to be the most accurate summary.
It is.
Look, Resident Evil 4, well, yeah, it's Resident Evil 4.
But it's not a bad thing that it's Resident Evil 4. So yeah. I think what I was most scared about, because Resident Evil 3 was a huge departure from Resident Evil 3 on the PS1.
So to continue our analogies, Resident Evil 3 remake wasn't Resident Evil 3
at all in any way. It didn't do any of the things that Resident Evil 3 even did before. It revisited Raccoon City, but like not even the streets were the same or anything like that. It was its own little separate world where Jill was running around, had some people the same, involved a subway car at one point.
Yeah.
But even the stories and dialogue had just changed so massively. Yeah. Now, Resident Evil 4 does depart a little bit storyline-wise. It has changed quite a few things, but the game is the same. So you jump in and you're in the map. You remember the map. You go to the same village. It has got the same buildings and the same doors and the same places. And you're like, oh, this is familiar. This is very Resident Evil 4. But they've added so many more things in it as well.
Yeah.
And it's quality of life and good things that is that makes it worth playing. So, first of all, it's way prettier. I'm not talking about Resident Evil 4 or the HD remix. This is like a very, very pretty Resident Evil 4.
No. One of the things I was interested to hear from you is, you know, we've talked about in the past how with old games, you know, like when you're playing the N64 Zelda games, you're like, this is the most beautiful virtual horse there's ever been. There's never going to be a good one, a better one than this. And they look at it now and like, fucking hell.
I know, yeah.
Is the jump, is playing the new game kind of like how you'd imagined it when you were playing the other one? Or like how much contrasting have you been doing between it and the old one?
I think everything feels a lot more immersive. So like where everything was a bit more still in the old version, like the rain would like hit off his shoulder and you'd be like, oh my god, how beautiful is that? I remember that in the GameCube. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
With an early benchmark for game tech was like, what happens when it rains?
In
Metroid Prime when the rain's bouncing off your arm. I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, but now you're going through a rainstorm and you're actually feeling that Leon's actually struggling against the wind as he's walking forward and stuff like that. That really adds a lot of dimension, and it's a silly thing, but like there's more sort of depth to his animations, and there is like just like swaying branches or brown brambles in the side that are still moving and things like that. It just makes it a bit more... It is a very, very pretty game. I would say that it's everything that I probably rose-tintedly remember about Resident Evil 4.
Yeah.
So it's an upgrade, but to a standard that brings it to current level standards. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, yeah. But there's new systems in there as well. So there's a lot more unlockables. There's more costumes. There's accessories that you can wear. So that's become an underlying sort of system that you work through and get as you go through your first playthrough, which is really cool. I like that, as having like those unlockables. They've added new weapons in the game as well.
Mm-hmm.
So they added a bolt gun. And nice. I love this thing. The bolt gun, you have the option to add a mine onto it.
Okay.
So basically, like, you know how you had the grenades and they were just a normal part of your Resident Evil 4 experience?
Yeah. Do you still have the three, like, flash, fire, and explosive?
I haven't seen a fire one yet.
Okay.
But yeah, we've got the standard explosive one and the flash ones for getting rid of the headbursters.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you have different types of mines you can attach to them or anything like that. But yeah, it's just so good to be able to like get a boss character and get a bolt gun right onto that, you know, big eye on his back. And it's got a bomb, and you just know that it's going to explode. There's a sense of satisfaction of like, yeah, you're going to die. But yeah, like, it's a good addition to the game. I think it doesn't depart, like, to the point where you think, ah, this isn't Resident Evil 4 anymore. It is definitely Resident Evil 4, but they've added this extra level, extra nods, even just extra new stuff for the hell of it. Like, they've got filters for playing the game. You know how everything was quite brown before?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they put filters over it so it can make it a bit more cheery. Or you can play... They've got this, like, hero and villain filter and costumes to go with it. I don't get what that is, but for some reason, you can play as Hero Leon and everything's sort of blue and sort of white. Or you can play as villain Leon, and everything's got this sort of red, hellish tint to it. And it's changeable as well, which is quite cool.
Nice.
Yeah. I know that's not enough, but I think it's been a reasonable amount of time. I think it's probably been about 5 years since I last played Resident Evil.
Yeah.
And that was, like, picking up an HD remix for... £4 on Steam or something like that, you know, or not even remix, just the HD version of it. And yeah, I'm enjoying it. It's been long enough that I've forgotten things as well. So I, as you know, I was playing the demo of it and I forgot the village, and all I had to do was survive. but yeah, like, they've added extra nods in there as well. To like, I think you saw that they could shoot the bell and yes. That yeah and things like that. That's really cool to add that sort of stuff. And they've added new enemies as well. So you remember Chainsaw Man?
I remember Chainsaw Man.
And then you had two Chainsaw Ladies as well.
I remember, yeah, Chainsaw Ladies, yeah.
Do you remember somebody wearing a cow's head and carrying a sledgehammer?
No, I don't remember Cow's Head Sledgehammer Man.
So, Cow's Head Sledgehammer Man's a new enemy that turns up. We don't like him very much, but he does drop spinels.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and again, so the merchant's back, which I was worried that they were just going to take him out because it was not very realistic. And if it was the same team that was doing Resident Evil 3, I guarantee they wouldn't have had the merchant in it. Uh-huh. So the merchant's back. but he has new currencies as well that you can use.
Yeah.
So you can use your pesetas in order to buy and upgrade the weapons, and there's new things you can do there as well, get repairs. But on top of that, spinels are used as a separate kind of currency.
Okay.
So you use the spinels for like buying the stock for the TMP, for the submachine gun, or you can use the spinels to buy a treasure map rather mm-hmm. than your cash itself. So it becomes something else you have to collect, which is quite cool. I quite enjoyed that. It doesn't go leaps and bounds, and it just creates a separate sort of thing for you to collect. But yeah, it's I've recently got Ashley, and I've been traversing with Ashley. She still gets grabbed by people, which is very, very annoying.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, but it's a thing.
I wonder if she'll have that amazing mode. You know, when you beat it and you don't like the armor.
Apparently the armor is in.
Good. And then, because no one could carry her off because she was too heavy.
Too heavy. Yeah, yeah.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
It's such a fun way of like, getting you
changing
to
the mechanics, yeah.
Yeah, getting you to replay the game. Be like, we know this bit was really annoying. Don't worry about it because she's now super heavy, so these guys keep trying to pick her up and falling over because she's in a full suit of armor. That's great. What a great little game. How far are you?
I have just arrived at the castle, and I've blown the doors open with the cannon.
Yeah, Santa Claus.
Yeah. So I think I'm chapter 9.
Hmm. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if they do shake anything up in the kind of finale part of the game.
Well, there are things that they have changed. You can cheese Salazar, which I found out. The fight against... Oh god, I've forgotten his name. The beardy tyrant man. Do you remember who I'm talking about?
Oh yeah, yeah.
I've totally forgotten his name. Does he have a name?
He must have a name.
Beardy Tyrant Man. Anyway, the fight against him in the burning house was pretty much identical.
Did you have that amazing standoff?
What do you mean standoff?
When you all start in that cottage.
Yeah. You've got the standoff, absolutely. Yeah. And they change it up as well. And there was more fucking cowhead sledgehammer men on so many headbursters, and I had no flash grenades.
Because I think that sequence is so successful, it became, you know how... I can't remember which series was the first one to do it. One of the Marvel series had that epic one-shot corridor fight. Was it Daredevil?
Maybe. I didn't watch any of those.
Okay. And then every subsequent series had one. And you'd be like, oh, this is the one-take corridor fight. I think that hut sequence in Resident Evil 4, they then put in pretty much all of the ones after it. But it's never quite been as good. There's one in a little game you'd like to check out, Richie, called Resident Evil Revelations 2, where you're stuck at a bar and all the guys are coming in, and then a big chainsaw big chainsaw man comes and gets you, and there's a mental achievement if you do it.
I mean,
the windows getting broken.
It's good, but it is one of the most stressful times in a game.
Yeah.
It is really, really, really tough, especially when there's like four headbuster things swinging their blades around, and you're just like, oh my god, how am I going to get past this?
Yeah. Because you do it by like, watch the window, watch the window, watch the window, watch the window. Then somebody will start coming in a window, or you'll be shooting it, and you're like, oh god, I'm not watching three windows.
Yeah.
And then
upstairs.
Yeah, and then upstairs happens, and then it's just chaos mode. I love it.
I went chaos from the start. But what was quite cool was the enemies drop boards as well. So you So you can put new boards up. But I mean, did the last seconds, man? It's so pointless. You know, so I just ended up sort of putting myself in a corner, and Lewis would occasionally chuck me ammo, and like I would run if I saw a green glowy, and like okay, I'm gonna get health. But yeah, like, oh man, yeah, it's tough. The other
now
thing
you were sorry,
yeah, go on.
You were saying, or you were texting me when you first got it. In fact, when you had the demo. That you were finding it hard.
Yes.
And I was saying that is it slightly harder?
Yes.
Or is it because that first time through is quite hard before you've
upgraded your weapons.
Extended your health bar, know what's going on, etc.
It's exactly the same as first playthrough of Resident Evil 4 Syndrome.
Okay.
yeah, so it was exactly that. It was I didn't have things upgraded. I got the Red 9. I upgraded it. I saved all my money for it and upgraded it to Hell. I can't remember how you unlock its special ability. Because I can't remember how that worked functionally. I thought you just upgraded it to Max and then you got the special ability.
What was its special ability again? Is it people or something?
It had a higher chance to pop people's head, or it had more damage or something like that. Or 1.5 times damage multiplier.
Yeah, that's right.
But I don't remember how you do it. It was like, oh, do you chuck it in a lake and it comes out again or something like that, a la Zelda?
Yeah, you have to put it under a plant pot, then travel back in time, then... when you come back, it's
the great fairy gives you an extended life bar. But yeah, like I have no. Sorry, go on.
Yeah, I remember now. You get how'd you get it? You get a ticket. Do you remember you get a ticket for the merchant?
So the merchant has a ticket that says it costs 30 spinels, and I have 20. And as the ticket says, allows you to upgrade to the special thing earlier than you would normally be able to. And I was just like, oh, when are you normally able to? Is it like after you complete the game? Or I don't know. Anyway. But yeah, other things that they've added, you can stealth kill enemies now. So remember you had the duck functionality? As in not waterfowl, but actually just ducking and crouching. You can sneak up on enemies that way and use your knife to kill them. Which is...
Are you sure you can do that before?
Yeah, they added that in. And your knife has lots more functionality, like blocking the chainsaw as well.
Nice.
Yeah.
I bet that's really easy to do.
No. Well, it isn't bad. It does flash up on your screen. Press left bumper.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's not too bad. What I am worried about is what they've done with the Krauser fight.
Oh, fucking hell, that Krauser fight.
All I remember is a quick time event.
Yeah.
Over and over and over.
Over and over and over.
Yeah, so I'm hoping...
And then in particular, there was a bit where you're like, oh, I finished it now, and then you hadn't finished it, and that bit would get you.
Yeah. So I'm hoping they've got rid of the quick time event and put him in as an actual boss, rather than other bullshit. But yeah, like, yeah, Resident Evil 4... It's done really, really well. It's really, really pretty. Got some new systems. Enough to be different to make it worth playing, but enough to be the same to still be Resident Evil 4.
Nice.
So I would say, if you, how much would you rate Resident Evil 4, like the original version that you've played?
Maybe 8.
Okay.
I have fond memories of it. However, that later bit when you're on the military island, I just remember being such a ball ache.
The military island?
Yeah, there's that whole military island and people on turrets.
Oh, yeah.
People throwing dynamite at you, and you're like, this is just...
Yep.
This is just a gauntlet of hell, basically.
Oh, yeah, and there's, like, regenerators as well, isn't there? You've got the thermal scope.
Yeah.
And you have to shoot bits of their body. Oh,
is
God.
Is that 4? Oh, it is, yeah. Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah. Jesus, I'm just at the castle.
Yeah.
God. Okay, well, yeah, I've got plenty to go. That's... Yeah. Surprising. I kind of forgot about that, but it's just like I was using the scope the other day there, and like, oh, is this?
Mm-hmm.
It must be. Okay. But yeah, so if you give 8 out of 10 for Resident Evil 4, the original version, I would say this would easily just be an 8.5 out of 10. Like, it's better in every way, but it's the same, which is also familiar and good.
It makes sense.
Yeah, good. But like, I don't see why anyone would give it less of a rating than the original one. Put it that way.
Okay.
Right. Okay. That's a lot of Resident Evil 4. So, what are you playing?
So again, whilst you were talking about Resident Evil 4, I've secretly like stretching and using my foot and using a long stick to turn things on, looking at what I downloaded on the Wii U at the end of eShop. And I shall tell you what I had a fixed amount of money and it was prohibitive/impossible to add more money when I was looking at it.
Oh.
So I had to try and maximize my spend. So I picked up Gunman Clive HD Collection.
Okay.
Do you remember Gunman Clive?
It rings a bell.
It's always, always cheap. Super cheap. And I picked these up, the HD collection, for I think £2.
Okay.
But you play as like a almost more detailed than Stickman, but like a Stickman cowboy running along.
Yeah, that rings a bell. Yeah.
It's brilliant. It is on the 1001 games you should play before you die, because it is brilliant. So simple, it's like a simplified Contra. There's boss fights and everything. So I played that. I've not played the second game, just the first game. Loving that. I bought Advance Wars Dual Strike.
Advance Wars Dual Strike, okay.
So I own it on the DS. I'm really looking forward to this like remake, which has been delayed. And I thought, you know what? Let's own it on the Wii U, because then that's like a huge DS. And it works perfectly, because, you know, the Wii U had the two-screen gimmick.
Yeah, yeah.
Handful of developers used it. Famously, most of the good games on Wii U have been ported, and they've easily overcome the whole having a second screen bullshit. But for some DS games, like Advance Wars, perfect, because you've got your map on one, you've got your action on the other screen.
Yeah.
And then, so I thought, oh, I do like Advance Wars, even though I've not finished the DS one, because there's 140,000 different... I think I've done the story, but not all the extended editions. So I thought, oh, I'll just have a quick go. Yeah, it's really good. It's still really good. It's still really, really good. And the last game I bought in this like mini Wii U roundup was Final Fantasy Tactics Advance.
Final Fantasy Tactics? Oh, wait a minute. You'd been playing that before. Hadn't you?
Did I mention it on a previous
one? Oh, I think you might have.
Okay. So, yeah.
Okay.
That's okay.
Okay.
I really want the original Final Fantasy Tactics, I think, but Advance is the only one that's
available. Oh. So, what is Final Fantasy Tactics on? What system?
it's on the Wii U, but as the name implies, I think it was a GBA game.
Oh, it's right, okay.
Tactics Advance.
Tactics Advance, okay.
Yeah. It's one of the weird Final Fantasies where you play as people with animal heads and shit.
Okay.
Dog head animals and rabbit head animals. It's fun. Isometric tactics game.
Cool.
That's it. That's
all you. Yeah, that's your roundup. You bought a few tactics games that were previously on DS for for the Wii U.
One was GBA.
Okay.
One was DS. One was, I can't remember, Gunman Clive originally came out on. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's a hell of a lot of games.
It is, in terms of hours. Several hundred hours worth of
easy Wii U. yeah
sat on a Wii U, which I have to specially connect just to check what I bought. Fun.
Cool. And do you want to give a rating? How many Gunman Clives would you give Final Fantasy Advance out of Tactics?
I'd give it Triple Strike.
Triple Strike. Okay.
This was Triple Strike for those three. What have you been playing?
So I picked this up on Valentine's sale.
Mm-hmm.
I have been playing, and I know it's quite old. Well, not as old as, say, Tactics, but it's an Untitled Goose Game.
Oh, yeah.
So have you played Untitled Goose Game?
I've seen so much of Untitled. And I thought, you know what, this probably is a good game, but now everybody's ruined it by posting.
All right, so you've seen, okay.
Yeah. They're hilarious bits, but is it as good as
I think
the memes would have you believe?
What I would say and what I would recommend is it's a two-player co-op game.
Uh-huh.
You would have so much fun with your wife playing it.
Okay.
And I think that's enough. That is just straight up enough to make this a worthwhile game. It's got enough of a puzzle element. It gives you clues. The music is amazing. And I don't say that about games very often. You know that. No. And the art style is just, it's nice and basic. It doesn't need to be more. But it's a really, for something that's called Untitled Goose Game, you're thinking this is going to be like beta, glitchy goat simulator pish. It's not. It's incredibly well polished.
Did you just miss Untitled Goose Game when it came out?
Yeah, entirely.
Okay. Yeah, it was everywhere for a good couple
months. Oh, no. I knew that it existed, but I was just like, oh, everybody's talking about it. Fuck that. But then it was reduced in a Valentine's sale. I thought, okay, I like co-op games. I'm going to check this out.
Yeah,
and yeah, it's like maybe 10 hours worth of gameplay. You can go and replay and do things differently and things like that, but I'm not fussed about it. Just played it from start to finish through. It was nice. It was the right amount of frustrating as well, where you're shouting, stop honking right now. You know, the guy's not doing the thing if you keep honking.
Yeah.
Whereas like opposite side of it is you end up just honking for just because you can. But yeah, no, it's like I say, it's quite short, but it's beautiful, and it just plays really well. And it's just, there's no, I guess it's a cozy game in that respect. But
just in case someone is reading and they have not heard of Untitled Goose Game, just give us a quick précis.
It is a game where you annoy the villagers of a little town, and you have a set of tasks that you must do or are given. It's just simple things like get a pint glass and put it in the canal. But there's things that will, get in your way.
Great.
And of course, you're just a goose.
You're just a goose.
Yeah.
A chaos causing goose.
Yeah. But yeah, like, if you find it cheap, I think you could spend quite some time with your partner, thoroughly enjoying playing the two-player mode, which is really how it should have been to start off with, because it originally came out as a one-player game where you just controlled two geese, which is stupid. Maybe it should be an Untitled Geese Game.
No, that's the sequel.
But yeah, I thoroughly recommend anyone to have a go at that one. Yeah.
Great.
Okay, cool. Shall we stop talking?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how we end episodes, which is we're going to stop talking. We don't have a sign off.
There's a behind the scenes in this podcast. Maybe one day we'll tell it. But this was hard. This podcast nearly didn't happen 3 times. And everyone's just happy that it got out into the world.
Yep, absolutely. Yep. Oh, wait a minute, I wasn't recording.
No, really, the whole time I was thinking there's no point.
Yeah.
Something of that magnitude is going to happen.
Okay.
Right, say the words.
That guy's a maniac.
Melotic is a fuck.